Can you turn to Matthew 23? I just have a few words for the moms this morning. I want to share to the moms something that we all share, and that's that we either had a mom or we are a mom. I just want to take a few moments and encourage the mothers here. I don't know that I've ever done that, but I just want to take a moment and share with the moms a few words. We'll just turn to Matthew chapter 23. I only have one verse there. And we're going to look at just three words pertaining to mothers. Three words, and we're going to look at two moms. So three words, two moms, and one message. And it'll be a short time, but hopefully it'll be an encouraging time. Matthew 23. And verse 37. The end of Jesus' ministry, Matthew 23, 37. The latter days of his ministry, he's sitting on the hill of Mount of Olives looking over the city of Jerusalem, and he says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who sent to it, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing. And it goes on to say some pretty heavy things, but I want to pause it with that picture of how God himself in the Son speaks of a care and uses an illustration of how often he would have gathered the children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing. And we'll use that to launch from this morning. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing here in this place. Lord, you're moving all over the world, but we celebrate this morning, Lord, just the few testimonies, Lord, of the wealth of what you're doing among our congregation here at City View. Thank you for the life of the young people, Lord, and for leading your people, and John and Jen, and Lord, it's not easy, but you lead, and you guide, you sustain, you strengthen. So, Father, in the few minutes that we have this morning, I pray that you would just sustain us and lead us and encourage us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Just three words, and Steve, we're not going to do that clip. We'll save that. Three words for moms. Can I just talk to the moms this morning? And the guys can listen to you. No, Rich is ready to leave. I'm going to eat. Three words for mothers, and they also apply to men, even in a greater scope. But we'll speak to women because they have a unique and special ability in these areas. And that is protection, presentation, and provision as moms. And I just want to take a moment and just break each of those out for you. But we began in Matthew chapter 23 at one of the most loving pictures given to us of protection. And Jesus used it as a hen in her chicks. And it's a picture of where a hen would gather the chicks under her wing and guide them along. And this kind of picture is enough to stop people driving. They pull off the road and they watch the ducklings walk across. And we're just enamored by the picture of care that Jesus gives, even in our own day. So we can kind of associate with that. But when you think about it, the whole protection thing for children is wrapped up in moms, because it was even in your frame from conception were you protecting the lives of your children. Now, a father has roles in the whole protection thing and all of that, but it's the mom that has a special care, a special protection that kind of fathers just don't get. We just don't get it. We get the overall care for moms and for the kids, or the protection, but as far as a mom's concerned, we don't get that. Exodus chapter 2, we don't have to go far into the Bible to get an example of a mom's protection. And if you know, if you want to flip to Exodus chapter 2, you can follow along. Because we have a picture in Exodus chapter 2 of the mother of Moses in the necessity of protection. And we read in Exodus chapter 2. In verse 3, it says, when she could hide Moses, him, no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes or reeds and put tar and pitch over it. And she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds in the riverbank. And then she appoints Moses' older sister to kind of walk along the banks to watch what happens to it. But we were reading that for a period of time, Moses' mom was able to hide him from the government, who was worried that the children of Israel were getting too prolific and they ordered the death of the young ones. But out of necessity and protection, she placed him in a basket, placed it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile, and she left it go. She left it go. Now, I was going to show a clip, but for the sake of time and all of that, we'll move on. But you'll remember the clip in The Prince of Egypt. Those of you with children have watched that over and over and over again. And I encourage you to go back and watch it. But there's a scene where Moses' mom does that, and she sings that lullaby to him. Like, who doesn't cry when you see that? I mean, she lets him go as the tears go down her face. But the day that Moses' mom left that basket go, a number of things happened. But one is, and what I want to just touch on before we move to presentation, is that in that moment, she made her boy different than every other boy in the neighborhood. Every other boy in that neighborhood was either dead or in a closet at that point being hidden. They were being sought out. But in that moment, you see, in protection, she separated him and kept him protected. We don't find anywhere, at least in my readings, that it was a cultural thing for moms to buy baskets, coat them with tar, and float them in the river. This was a very deliberate act on the part of the mother. It was a determined act on the part of the mother in an overt purpose to protect this baby. And she could not protect the baby without making him in that moment different than any other boy. Now, I don't need to apply that. A lot of you are applying that already. But there is no way in the world, moms, that we're going to be able to protect. You're not going to be able to protect your children unless you're prepared at certain points in their lives to make them unequivocally different than everyone else and every boy around. So the question to the moms this morning is, are you prepared to make your son and your daughter different in order to protect them? Are we prepared? Are you prepared? Now again, the fathers aren't absent in all of this, but we'll get to them. I have a few words for them later. We'll get to them in June. But are you prepared to have the conversations around electronic devices, the iPods, the phones, the cell phones, the TVs, the computers in the room, in order to protect them? Are we prepared to determine what's in and what's out in terms of what's going in to their social consciousness and what's ingrained and embedded in their computer memory chips? Are we prepared to go there with them and fight those fights? Because we can't compare ourselves in parenting or in mothering to anybody else. We can't shrink back from being weird. Is what I have. Because normal, in culturally speaking, has become shockingly sad. Hasn't it? What's normal? So when we say weird, it's okay to go weird. And culturally speaking, we're not in this to raise normal kids, are we? I know as moms, that's such a heart to raise normal kids when you look around. Conversely, though, are you willing, moms, to protect them from overprotection? Because if we protect them too much, we're hurting them and harming them instead of helping them. And I'll use the same illustration. Moses' mom didn't protect Moses from the alien environment. She went there with him. So we read that she let the baby go. And the Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, and who was it that ended up really raising the baby? The mom. So the picture is, it's not always just keeping them from the alien or keeping them from the world or the evils of the world, but it's going there with them, walking that out with them, having some of the tough conversations of the sexual nature, even with them, age appropriately. It's very, very hard work. But are we willing to protect from overprotection, shielding them, keeping them from all of the evils of the world? It's so tempting to do that, isn't it? There's great wisdom, though, in this protection and finding the line and the Lord leading you in that way. So moms, are you protecting your children? How about presentation? It's 1 Samuel chapter 2 and that wonderful story of Hannah. Hannah, great, great story. It's the great story of Hannah, which are some like today, longed to have children she couldn't have, and she was slighted for it. And she knew the pain of it all, and eventually God honored her cry, and she became the mother of a boy named Samuel. Do you remember the story? That's 1 Samuel. And her desire above all things was his presentation. And in 1 Samuel 21, the husband, it said, that went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow, but Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that the Lord may, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." And the NIV says, "I will take him and present him before the Lord, where he will remain forever." So the question this morning is not only mothers, are you protecting your children? Have you presented your children? Have you presented them up to the Lord? Because if not, by design, if we do not offer them up to the Lord, we will offer them up to something else. Because children will worship. The question is, what will they worship? At what shrine will they bend their knee? Have we presented them to the Lord? 1 Samuel, reading on then in 2:21, says, "The result of all this is that the young Samuel boy grew up in the presence of the Lord." And I'm struck by this, that there's not a child on the face of the earth that ever grew up in the presence of the Lord by accident. They grew up in the presence of the Lord because someone presented them. Whether it wasn't a biological, and we're hearing about foster children and God redeeming parental figures in this, and then healing the other relationships. It's what God does. But they only grow up if they're presented to the Lord, and that's done by moms and dads, but we're talking to moms this morning. But what about the dads? What about fathers? In my reading, I found that the average man is 38 around the waist, the chest, 32 around the waist, 95 around the golf course, and a general nuisance around the house. I mean, not our men, but in general. But Father's Day is coming, so men, your day's coming. But this morning, and we have child dedications here from time to time, and we've had quite a few lately, and we'll have more. There's more on the schedule. But I'll just say this, that it makes no sense to dedicate them here if they haven't been dedicated in the home first, or consequently. So moms, have you presented your children? And then provision. In 1 Samuel 2, if you're in 1 Samuel, go to 1 Samuel 2 and look at verse 19. In looking over the story, there's an interesting verse that just jumps out. It's a little detail in 1 Samuel 2:19. So Samuel was dedicated to the Lord. He was raised in the temple, and he was in the service of the temple, and there he sits. In verse 19, it says, "And his mom used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up to her husband for the yearly, with her husband for the yearly sacrifice." So it says, every year she knit him a little robe and took it to him. Isn't that it? I've never really pondered that, but it struck me in the provision point here, we're going to make it work, that only a mom, I think, would understand the psyche that's involved in this kind of act. You know, one of the a sadness is that many in our culture, we don't know how to sew or knit. We only know how to buy things. And I learned to sew in home ec class. But I only can do buttons, Sarah. That's all I can do. Sarah makes really wonderful purses that she sells. It's a commercial for you. So, but here is Hannah knitting and sewing a robe. And of course, each year he's growing. And so she's making him a new robe and she's providing for him. And it's the love and the care and all of that. My dad's mom, my Grammy Kurtz, used to knit, and she made toilet seat covers. And she used to give them out to all the family members. And yeah, but it was as a teenager, I just smiled. You know, we didn't know what to do with that. You know, and when Christy was pregnant with Zoe, many of you know Sue Arnold, who used to be the administrator for years and years. She knit a blanket, a nice yellow blanket, because we didn't know what you were going to be, Zoe. You're a girl. Boy or girl, we didn't know. So it was this nice yellow blanket that we still have, and she made them for a lot of the women at the time. Karen Lose is knitting blankets and things for babies, and Christy made scarves for the girls over this Christmas season, and each night she'd prop her feet up, and she'd be knitting. It was fascinating to see the love that was going into, you know, just a strip of fabric in a scarf. And then as I thought about it, I thought, who could forget Aunt Clara's gift to Ralphie on the Christmas story? Do you remember what Ralphie pulled out that his mom made him put on because she, the rabbit pajamas, yeah, the head-to-toe rabbit pajamas that she said, you go put them on because she makes them for you every year. Of course, Ralphie, in his older voice that's narrating it, says she worked under the delusion that not only was he a little baby, but he was a girl. So it's this pink bunny suit that he had to put on. But we've got to think in the context of the story of first of Samuel here and his mother Hannah that there was more to that robe than just the robe. There was something much more significant to it. Because the robe would wear and go, but the love and the care of the insights, the prayers, and the longings of the mother for her boy were represented in that creative process year after year. Provision, providing. And the video that we had and how fast she'd rather, I wouldn't have enough time to go through how much moms provide in all the ways that they do, much more than financially providing. And many of us this morning are sitting here, and I've talked to some of you that your moms aren't with us anymore. They're with us, but they're not here. We can't touch and feel them anymore. But they've either been called home or... And there's things you wish you could tell them and share with them. Some of you have talked to their pictures this morning. And there's just something about a mother. You know, things in this world, beautiful things come in twos and threes and dozens and hundreds and flowers. But there's really only one mom, one mother. And, I mean, I'd say to my mom, she's back here. She's back in the back. That's my mom. That, you know, I want to thank her for providing my needs and only some of my wants. You know, that she didn't get that flipped upside down. I'm thankful for that. She provided, and many of you, your children could say the same thing and should be saying the same thing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because if you're a godly woman, you see that your children, your greatest hope and joy in the world is seeing your children walk in righteousness before the Lord, isn't it? So the testimony of the young people, there are mothers here, their hearts are exploding. Because this is all of their hopes, all of their dreams are wrapped up in this thing. In the memories of your children, the memories that your children, and the memories that I carry weren't of the bikes, wasn't of the providing of vacations, it wasn't in what it'd be iPods and all of that. It's not what they're going to remember. They're going to remember the provision in that you provided yourself for them. Even if they don't get it for many, many years. A woman can give herself up to the most significant responsibility on the face of the planet in the scheme of human relationships. She can be a mom. Amen. Provision, presentation, and protection. My hope for you all this afternoon is that you'd have a very, very happy Mother's Day. Amen. I think Emily talked longer than I did today. That's not good. I shortened it. Amen. Let's stand together, can we?